Matter of fact, the rash, you know you've ate too much and the rash on your stomach, why it turns out to be your steering wheel burn. Check, 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 money order. There you go. I did get a phone call. The Butterball representatives called one to put me in the Hall of Fame. Wouldn't know if they could use this space for advertising. Aren't y'all glad all those Thanksgiving jokes? I got one more, and I'm going to introduce Mark. Amen. You know you've eaten too much when you receive a sumo wrestler application in your email. Mark Gray, the people that's been here for a while, y'all know Mark Gray. Matter of fact, some of y'all remember Mark when he was itty-bitty. Itty-bitty. Amen. I don't know how itty-bitty he ever was because he's a big man. That was a long time ago. I heard that he was the best of all the youngins. But Mark, we've been talking a long time about him playing, coming to singing, and today we finally said, okay, let's go ahead and nail this down. And so today we nailed it down. Amen. And so come on here, Brother Mark. You are the man with the plan. Mark Gray. Go for it, bro. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You done your earthly parents proud, and you done your heavenly Father proud. Amen. I knew you had it in you. I just ain't ever seen it come out of you. That was good. That was awesome. Children, you're dismissed to Children's Church. I'm going to preach for the next hour and a half. Help you eat some of that turkey. No, I'm not going to do an hour and a half. I'm only going to do about 30 minutes. Give or take an hour. Get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out. I want you to get somebody a high five and say, wasn't that awesome? Get somebody a high five and say, well, it's not that awesome. Brother, we got to have you back soon. Wow, that was awesome. How many like to have him back, huh? Awesome. All right. Next week, all right. I'm going to talk to you. Get your Bibles out to Psalm chapter 100. Psalm 100. Have you ever felt stuck? I mean, life's just got you stuck. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, it seems like everything is going the wrong direction and you're just stuck. Look at somebody and ask them, say, you ever felt stuck? I'm going to tell you how to get unstuck today. Amen. Y'all stand for the reading of God's Word. Yeah, Mark, that was awesome, awesome, double awesome. Oh, that's awesome, bruh. He wrote those last two songs. That was awesome, too. Amen. The Lord just, that was awesome. Y'all stand up holding your Bibles, so put your Bible down so you can clap. Yeah, there you go. Brother Burton was one that told me that one day. I said, y'all hold your Bible, and I said, get your Bible here, and I said, I want you to clap unto the Lord. Nobody clapped. Brother Burton said, we're holding our Bible. Psalm 100. Make a joyful. Did it say you had to sing with, did it say you had to sound good like Mark just did, or like everybody up here just did a few minutes ago, like all the musicians? Did it say it had to sound good like all these guys? What does it say? So next time somebody tells you need to quit singing, tell them, say, God told me to make a joyful noise. And so whether it's good to you is joyful because God loves it. Amen. Amen. All right. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is, His mercy is, and His truth endureth. Who is all generations? Is everybody here right now? Amen. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for what we've already experienced in here. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for that awesome praise and worship and Christmas songs. We thank You, Lord, for our brother Mark coming and blessing us so much in song. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that. We know, God, that Lord, that you've blessed him too, Lord, and give him such talent. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless this service. Lord, let us keep in our mind, Lord, what you're trying to do in our lives, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. You can be seated. Way down, get somebody a high five. Give him a high five and say, God's good. Now, like I said, I promise I will not keep you long today, but I just want to talk to you for a few minutes. And you can time me. If I go over an hour, somebody tell me. It's not going to be long, not at all. Amen. Again, let me ask you, have you ever felt stuck? Have you ever felt like you were stuck? You were depressed? You were sad? You felt hopeless? You honestly could not see a way out of your depression? You could not see a way out of your hopeless situation? You just couldn't get over the sadness? Anybody ever been there? We've all been there. We've all had a shake at that. Well, I was reading this story here, reading this scripture, and then I began to read about the pilgrims, and it really let me know something. It really helped me out a lot. You see, the pilgrims, we always hear about the pilgrims, and we see the fancy little suits with the white collars and the buckled shoes, and they're killing the turkey and all that. But let me just go a little bit further with the pilgrims. I'm going to give something to you today that you may already know, or maybe you don't quite know. And so I hope today gives you a whole different light on Thanksgiving. Now there was 100. See, the pilgrims could have felt this way. They could have felt stuck. They could have felt sad. And they could have felt depressed. There was 104 pilgrims. How many know that? 104 pilgrims on that trip. Did you know that on that trip, two of those pilgrims died? 45 died in 4 months. Half of them died in 4 months. Matter of fact, listen to this now. They opened a grave every 3 days. Wow. That's powerful. They opened a grave every 3 days, and they honestly couldn't, because they were afraid the Indians would know how they were dwindling down. They went to a sand hill, and they put the dead pilgrims in the sand hill and laid it flat so they wouldn't know that there was a grave. They didn't even have services for them. They just mentioned their name in their regular church service. Wow. Most of these guys died of a combination of malnutrition and sickness. Now, when you think about this, wow. It gives me a whole different light on Thanksgiving. You know, we might get upset if we don't get the kind of butterball where the little belly button pops out when it's ready to cook. You know, we might get upset if we can't find our kind of cranberry sauce, and we think Thanksgiving is parades and football. But these guys, it was something. To come through all that and then be able to thank God for what they went through. How many in here can relate in some form or some fashion to that? We all have things in our life that we can look at and we can sit back and say, you know what? I'm stuck. But if I can think about what the pilgrims went through. I was talking with a guy yesterday. His sister, remember I told you his sister had cancer, and it literally ate her face. I mean, her face, that was gone. It was gone from here, one eye, it was gone. 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 I never ministered to anybody like that. Gone. I could see the back of her head. And he told me last night he saw me. And he said, you know, I really busted that finger last week. It looked like somebody hit it with a sledgehammer. He said, I really started to complain about my finger, and I thought about my sister. He said, I thought about looking at her and thought about how she was those last few months that she lived, and he said, I remember how she never complained about hurting, and she was always hopeful. She said, you saw her the day before she died, and how would she tell you? She told you that she weren't giving up. I said, that's right. And I said, I never heard her complain, ever heard her complain about hurting. He said, when I think about that, this is minor, and I can thank God through it all. And so the same way, when we think about what the pilgrims went through, and they still found a way to thank God for the bounty that He had given them. Wow. The bounty. The choice is ours. We can either focus on the negative in our lives. We've all got negative. Who in here does not have negative in your life? Everybody in here is negative in your life, but we can focus on the negative, or we can focus on the positive. The positive was now they could worship the way they wanted to. The positive was now things were better in their life once things got back up going again. And it looked, they were even sleeping. Some of those guys were sleeping on the ship for the first winter. Some of the guys were sleeping in clay huts. They didn't even have enough to even make proper living conditions. But they praised God anyhow. You know, one day during the period that Abraham Lincoln served as president of the United States, an elderly lady was ushered into his private office. Lincoln noticed that she carried a covered basket beneath her arm, and he inquired, "What can I do for you, madam?" Placing the covered basket on the table, the lady replied, "Mr. President, I've come here today not to ask any favor of anyone, nor myself. I simply heard that you were very fond of cookies, and I came here today to present you with a basket full, which I baked just for you." Wow. As he listened to the lady's words, tears welled up in his eyes and began running down his cheek. He stood speechless for a moment. Then he said, "My good woman, your thoughtful, unselfish deed moves me. Thousands of people have entered this office since I became president, but you alone are the first to come asking no favor for yourself nor somebody else." She had that attitude. The attitude I'm going to tell you right now is how to get unstuck, how to get out of the Hebrew mully grubs. All right? Just like the pilgrims refused to let that get them down, and they actually rejoiced in the Lord, we can find relief. We can find release if we can find a way to rejoice and be thankful. Now, I'm going to read this psalm again. Thanksgiving. My friend, I got labeled Thanksgiving commands. Let it go. Let it rip. There you go. "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord He Himself is God. It is He who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness is to all generations." Psalm 100 again, but New American Standard Version. So now I want you to think about this. In this, there's seven commands, but we're going to condense it down to five. All right? We're going to take all seven. We're going to condense it down to five. I won't keep you long. If I do, just be thankful. Be thankful that we can be in church. Because there's people all over this world today that are having to do this underground, hid. And if they're found with more than, look, if they're found with the Bible, they are shot on sight. Matter of fact, a lot of people just have one sheet of the Word. That's all they carry with them. One. This is today, Iraq, Iran, places. They carry one sheet. And if they're caught, they eat it. One sheet can have them put to death. When North Korea let go of the prisoners just a few weeks ago, you know what they were put in there for? Being a Christian. Wow. Wow. So watch this now. Here we go. Get ready. Get ready. Number one. I love this part. It's my favorite one. My wife says, "I like to make a bunch of noise." Well, here you go. I'm biblical. The Bible says the first command is to shout. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, if you look at Joshua, when Joshua says, when they're getting ready to come past the wall, seven times on the seventh day, and he says, "I want you to turn toward the wall, and I want you to shout. I want you to talk to that day. But then, when you know it's time, I want you to shout." They're taunting them and taunting really bad because all they're doing is walking around the walls. They're looking down saying, "Y'all aren't going to do anything. You just walking. You're not even talking." But on the seventh day, then I want you to shout. That word shout is the exact same Hebrew word for make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The exact same word. So what he said was, on the seventh day, on the seventh time, when you hear the trumpets, I want you to turn toward the wall and I want you to make a joyful sound unto the Lord. Wow. So we're just na-na-na-na-boo-boo. It was praise God. You know, how many get a chance to hear in your head the voices trying to tell you, Satan trying to talk to you and trying to tell you you're a loser, what you've done in the past cannot be corrected, that everything behind you is still up in your face and there's no way you can move forward, and you hear it all the time. You hear it, loser, loser. You'll never get out of this. You're stuck. Well, you know why? I was asking God, why should we shout? I believe He showed me. Watch this. The voice of the feet in your head is loud. When it starts to get loud, you get louder. So we're going to practice it right now. I want you right now, all at one time, however you want to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the universal language. Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah, whatever you want to. But when I count to three, we're going to shout, and we're going to shout down the voices that are telling us that we're crazy, that we can't win, that we've lost, we've done too bad in the past, we've not come far enough, we've not done enough for God, blah, 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 blah. One, two, three. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lord! Come on! Glory to the Lord! The next time the devil starts telling you something in your head, you may even be a Walmart. Just stop and go, glory! Somebody says, what are you doing? Say, what'd you hear? They said, we heard you. Said, good. You didn't hear the other words. All you could hear me, I outshouted him. Glory! Next time you're feeling down, sometimes I got to get down the road and ride down the road a little bit so nobody can hear me and think I've lost my mind, which is a different subject. All right. I ride down the road and I get going. I go, glory! Whatever that voice is talking junk to you, wherever you hear Satan talking crazy to you, just get louder than he is. Amen? Shut him down. Number one, command, shout. Number two, serve. Now this is wild, this word serve. This word serve means to serve the Lord with gladness. Have you ever asked somebody to do something for the Lord and they go, all right. I did that last week. Well, can you do this? Yes. Just give me a minute. Let me get my attitude right. Yeah, praise God. That word serve means to work. But not only does it work, watch this. It means bond service. It means bond service. You know what a bond servant is? A bond servant is somebody that was a slave. They were set free by the owner. And they loved the owner so much, they went back and served him out of love. Matter of fact, you could tell the bond servants because they had a great big hole in this ear right here. Jesus even said, I've pierced my ear right here for you, God, because I'm your bondservant. I'm going to serve you out of love. Let me ask you a question. When you're doing something for God, do you think about it as a service of love? God, you haven't asked too much of me. When you took that cross, that song you sang about carrying that cross, when I think of him carrying that cross, there's nothing he can ask that's too hard of me. And the difference is, when he asks me something to do something, he always provides the oomph to get it done. So watch this. It's a labor of love and devotion. But also, that's really a wild word because that word service, serve means to actually work. It means to be a bondservant, but it also means to worship. How many know that you can worship scrubbing the toilets in the bathroom of the church? Matter of fact, every time I clean one, I do go, glory, hallelujah. That's the wrong one to sing in that place. I'm sorry. That's not be moved in the bathroom. Don't sing that one. Okay. Okay. Worship. I'm getting close to the end. I told you this. The third command. Sing. 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 I can promise you there's some people that can out-sing me. You've probably heard them. It's okay. God didn't say that. He told me if I'm ministering to the people, that I need to just bring them into a place of worship. That word sing there means, I love this. That word sing there means creak, croak. That's right. Think about it now. Mark just did a tremendous job. Those up here singing did a tremendous job. All the guys that get up here and do our praise and worship, they do tremendously. I mean, it's awesome. But you know what? While they're singing, I can go back and be singing, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, and I'm fine. Because God said, sing. Sing. You know why he tells us to sing? I tell you why he tells us to sing. He tells us to make melody in our hearts and to think about it all the time. The reason God tells us to sing, I'm just going to do it quickly. I'm trying to get us out of here. I think. Ready? When you sing, number one, it builds faith. I've never found myself singing that didn't build faith. It always is awesome. I even find when I'm working out, if I play Christian music while I'm working out, I got it in my ears, and I can work out stronger, I can work out harder, I can go a lot longer because I'm just worshiping. The only problem is I keep forgetting sometimes that it's in my ears and nobody else can hear the music. And sometimes I'm working out and I'm singing. And those people stop moving away from me. Then it hits me. They don't hear the music, do they? Number two, it lifts your mood. Try singing. It's a mood enhancer. I can be just as sad and start singing about God, and all of a sudden I feel a whole lot better. It can be so bad, but I just start singing and feel awesome. How many's ever done that? And then number three, when you sing, it attracts God. Did you know that? When you sing, God is listening, but you attract Him. In Acts 16:25, the Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises and hymns unto God. And it said the prisoners heard them, but not only did the prisoners hear them, God heard them. And it's in an earthquake, and everybody got loose. Number four. Stop right here for a minute. I feel this is a good chance to do this. Command to sing. So when everybody, when I say three, I want you to sing, keep on the firing line. Ready? Ready? Everybody all together. When I count to three, you don't, listen. Keep. So here it is. Keep on the firing line. Just do that. All right, ready? Y'all don't have to be in the same key. Sometimes I'm not in the same key. It's okay. When I say throw and say keep on the fire, I want you to sing it. I want you to say it. I want you to sing it. And then tomorrow when you're going through troubles and you feel like you want to give up, just sing, keep on the firing line. Ready? Everybody out loud. Y'all are looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Ready? Don't worry about the person behind you, the person behind in front of you. Matter of fact, I ask God to close your ears to everybody around you, just you. Like in the gym when you got the earphones in, don't hear anybody else. Ready? One, two, three. Keep on the firing line. Oh, wow! Y'all guys did good. All right, so tomorrow, remember, sing. It is a mood enhancer, and it attracts God. Number four, a command to submit. Submit. Know the Lord that He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That word know, I love this word know because it means to know, to be sure, to understand. Know that God is God. Know this, that He is our Creator. But it goes even deeper. Because it not only means to know because I know people, and I can't always say that I have the utmost respect for them. Anybody you know, you might know them, but you don't really have a lot of respect because of the way they act or the way they do. You know them and you try to be good to them, but it's hard to respect them because they're just out there. That word means to know them, but also to have respect for Him. Wow. There goes the worship. I respect you. I honor you, God. It also means to be, not only to know it, not just to put it in, but to put it out, to skillfully teach. So also to know God, know who He is, I'm to respect Him, then I'm to skillfully teach other people what's going on. How can I skillfully teach about Him? By learning His Word. Brother Mark just did some skillful teaching just a few minutes ago in those two songs that he wrote. The other songs he sang, that was skillful teaching. We learn, we put it in, and it's got to come out. A lot of times people say, well, I'm just a sad rock away. What it is they've got it all in and not putting it out. Try cramming two Big Macs in your mouth at one time. I can't even cram one Big Mac in my mouth, believe it or not. That's not like a contest going on now. Okay, everybody's trying to put. It also means kinsman. To know Him means kinsman. I know that I'm His, and He's mine, and I belong to Him. And then the other part of submit is just to submit. And to submit, it means to apply all of this and realize that trust Him enough to give Him control. Trust Him enough to give Him. How many of you have rode on the back of a motorcycle with somebody? When you're on the back of a motorcycle, if you don't trust the person driving, it's a bad ride. I can tell you, there's people in my family, they're driving a motorcycle, I'm not on it. I won't mention anybody's name, but one of his initials is Daniel Linton. I'm blaming on him. No, I can't blame it on him because I can't drive either, can I? But he can drive. He can drive. Oh, you're saying you don't like me driving. Okay, let's put it this way. DC told me he was going to take a nerve pill last week because I was driving. Daniel says something like, Dad, are we going to be alive when we get there? And then DC got behind me today on the way up here, and Amy said, it's a wonder he still has his license. And I was excited because I thought I was driving good. You have to trust the person driving or you're going to have a bad day. Trust God enough to give him control. How many trust him enough to give him control? And then finally, this is it. Enter his gates with thanksgiving or command of sacrifice. I want to put that video up right after this. Well, you can probably get ready to put it up. I know we've been having some problems with that thing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in his courts of praise. Now, how many came in today with thanksgiving in your heart and praise when you came in? How many came in and said, well, here we go again. It's the day after Thanksgiving. And I don't really want to be here, but I had to be here. You know, it's like the guy, his mama come in and said, get up, you got to go to church. And he said, I ain't going. And she said, you're going. He says, they don't like me and I don't like them. I ain't going. She says, I'll give you two reasons that you got to go. He says, give them to me. She says, you're 49 years old and you're the pastor. Come in church with thanksgiving, with praise. Thanksgiving, praise. Just about every service. And on Sunday mornings, it's kind of rough because we got so much going on. But on Sunday nights and Tuesday nights, you know what I'm doing? Sometime during the day, and especially just before the service, I come in and put music in, and I walk around, and I just praise God. And I pray for every pew, and I pray for everybody that I know as I'm going around praying. Every Tuesday night, every Sunday night, Sunday morning on the way up here, I'm praying for all of us to have an awesome service. And binding all the negative influence that God can get glory. Amen. So now watch. I love this. I'm going to go with praise first. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his course of praise. That word praise is hallel. Hallel is the root word for hallelujah. Do you know that hallelujah is the only word that is the same in every language? Hallelujah. I honestly believe that when the angel comes down and blows his trumpet and he shouts, everybody in every language that's a Christian is going to hear it and understand it. I mean, God could just make them all understand what he's saying, but you know what I kind of feel like he's going to do? When the trumpet sounds, I believe the angel of the Lord is going to holler, hallelujah! Can you imagine? You're riding down the road and you hear a trumpet and you stop and then you hear, hallelujah! And then you just lift up. Wow. I'll be hollering some hallelujahs on the way up. Amen, amen. You know, like I told you about the guy that went to buy the donkey from the preacher. And he said, now this donkey's taken me to church a whole many times and I just don't need him right now. I went to sell him. He said, okay, I'll buy him from you. He bought him for a good price. He said, but here's the deal. He says, when you want him, when you want him to start, you say, hallelujah. And when you want him to stop, you say, praise the Lord. So he gets on, he rides around, he's going through town. He says, hallelujah, starts him, and praise the Lord stops him. Okay. So he goes, Hallelujah. He gets going. He says, this is pretty cool. He said, Hallelujah. And he gets going even more. He said, this is awesome. He went, Hallelujah. And that donkey's just a-going. He starts running toward the edge of a mountain. And he went, what did he say to stop? What did he say to stop? And as he gets right to the edge, he goes, he goes, glory to God. amen. And he finally said, oh, praise the Lord. And the donkey stopped right on the edge. And when he stopped right on the edge, he was sweating big old bullets. He went, Hallelujah. Hallelujah, and then Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an extension of the hand. Now, it's an extension of the hand. It means adoration. It also means a choir, being the choir of worshipers. So it's something that when you're doing it, other people should be doing it too. It should be an awesome thing. It should be contagious. Your whole family praising God. Then there's confession. God, I confess, you are Lord Almighty. You are powerful. There's none like you. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that although I've had problems in my life, you're taking care of business. And then finally, Thanksgiving. The word for Thanksgiving is sacrifice of praise. Wow. Thanksgiving is sacrifice of praise. That means that when I'm thanking God, I'm praising God, it's interchangeable. You can't change it. You can't take them and separate them. Thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. They're interchangeable. And sacrificially means that praise is in style all seasons of your life. Amen? Now, God wants us to praise Him. Matter of fact, Psalm 106 and 1, everybody stand up. Psalm 106 and 1 says, praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Think about those pilgrims. A death every 3 days, a new grave dug. Barely enough to eat. So many children without their mamas. And God, they still thanked Him. And they praised Him. It was truly, Thanksgiving to them was a sacrifice of praise. And we're going to have this up in a minute. We're going to sacrifice a praise until it gets here. Father, I love you. And I thank you, Lord, that no matter how we feel, no matter how it looks, you're in control. And we trust you. Ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us. And Father, help us, Lord, to be thankful to you all the day long. No matter how bad we've had it, God is still in control. Everybody right now has to raise your hands. We don't have to do it, dude. We'll just forget it. Everybody raise your hands. Everybody raise your hands. I want you to thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Come on and thank Him. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. It's a sacrifice for some of you. There you go and play. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. After this, go ahead.
When you're up against the struggle that shatters all you dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work with those who praise Him. Praise the Lord.
chains that seem to bind you, serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you pray.
Praise Him, church, no matter what it looks like. If you're stuck, you can be unstuck. Praise unsticks us. Thanksgiving unsticks us. You cannot separate praise and thanksgiving.
So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done.
Praise the church. So put your hands up and praise. Put your hands up and praise. God is worthy. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Right now, if you've got a need in your life, I invite you to this altar. If you just want to talk to the Lord, I invite you to this altar. I know it's getting a little late, but come on. You want to talk to the Lord? Come on up here. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Come on up and talk to Him. You need God to do something for you. You just want to praise Him. You want to thank Him. Just come up and thank Him. Just like with Abraham Lincoln. That woman came just to thank Him.